We're still on the subject of demon possession. I would like to consider 8 terms before we go in any further into demon possession. 8 terms, all occurring in Deuteronomy 18:9-11. Every operation, I believe, of demons revealed in the Word of God, everywhere else, will find a starting place in these 8 words. In this portion, God warns first against the abominations of the nations that he's casting out before them. And it was all demoniacal. Things which the nations sacrificed, they sacrificed not unto God, but unto demons, Paul said. In the New Testament, most of their activity is pictured with adjectives attached to the word spirit or demons, such as unclean, foul, wicked, seducing, dumb for the infirmity they give, or spirit of divination, or the simile like frogs croaking in the night, slimy, dirty. But these 8 words pretty well sum up the demoniacal activity. And remember, their activity seems to have a connotation along the line either of sexual deviation and excess, or an idolatrous, devilish worship, or an oppressive nature, according to the type of person that they are possessing. And another unique thing is that all through the Word of God, as even today, most of the demon teachings, seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, Paul mentions it in 2 Timothy 4:1, is, or 1 Timothy 4:1, I guess it is, of seducing spirits and doctrines of demons is prophetic. Fortune telling. Prying into the future. Almost all of the occult in its demon origin carries the idea of prophecy. Hence so much of fortune telling, astrology, forecasting, your horoscope. You can see one of these words here. Man naturally would love to know the future. We've already seen God gives us a faculty to know the past in memory. God gives us the faculty to know the present in consciousness. But we have no faculty for the future. No, certainly at all. We know what we plan. We have in view a trend toward the future. We know pretty much what the next year or so is planned out, but there's too many ifs. Man would like to know for certainty about the future. And since it is so mysterious, so hidden, here the devil can put over a lot upon a human. Demons can fool a person. But remember also, the kind of a person that goes to a demon inspired or a demon possessed person to learn the future usually belongs to the devil in the first place. Therefore, the devil can pretty well know what he plans for that person. Here's why so often a fortune teller can be pretty accurate if they're demon possessed. Well, the devil knows what he's going to do with his kids. That can all be messed up if that person gets saved. I've always said I don't believe any demon-possessed fortune teller can tell my fortune. But my fortune is in God's hands. The paths of a good man are ordered of the Lord, the scripture says. He has my future. And all the devil has to do with it is try to hinder me all he can. And then all of his demons. Notice also in this 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, I wish we had time to give the whole chapter. You have these eight great demoniacal operations in humans. Then you have God's great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord shall raise up a prophet, Moses said, like unto me. Him you shall heed. Then he goes into false prophets, right afterwards. How to test them. A wonderful chapter. The first word is divination. Or divinely. Very often in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word is koten, K-O-S-E-N, or kesamim, plural, K-E-S-A-M-I-M. The koten are practitioners of divination. Also, soothsayers. The word means to discern hidden things, of course, especially in the future, as you look up the word divination and divine, to divine something. It is to try to discover hidden things by omens, tokens, auguries, A-U-G-U-R-I-E-S, auguries. And, of course, witches, as will come later in this, have this ability. By the way, these are real. These are not bugaboos, ghosts. Some remnant of the heathen origin of Israel out of Chaldees, the land of the Chaldees. I've even had papers handed in my class here by folks that almost ridiculed these. That God mentions here, not as non-entities. God even recognizes, for instance, that an idol is nothing, but there is something behind the idol. As Paul said, the things that the heathen sacrifice is sacrificed not unto God, but unto demons. Back to the idol. It's a demon. God recognizes that. You find, like, if I had time, I could go to several texts that show the reality of the demons behind these. Now, the reason we think so much of this is quackery is because so much of spiritualism and fortune-telling is 100% quackery. They're not demon-possessed. We'll see a real witch or a real diviner, a real demon-possessed fortune-teller, has a lot of power, a lot of ability, a lot of knowledge. It's supernatural. Houdini, along with Sir Conan Doyle and many others, proved that so great amounts of fortune telling is and spiritualism is pure quackery. You can go to any store of supernatural paraphernalia and buy all the ectoplasm and Ouija boards and moving trumpets, ghostly trumpets that blow and you not know where around it, and moving tables and get the medium's hands are tied and all this. Remember one time I wanted to go to a spiritualist meeting. It wasn't too far from the place where I was pastoring. And I wanted to go so bad I could taste it. The Lord wouldn't let me. The Lord practically said to me, "Bragg, if you go there, I'm not going to go with you." I said, "Lord, if you don't go, I'm not going to go." Just as distinctly as anything in the world, I had the impression if you go in there, you're going to leave the Lord at the door. That's the devil's territory. I didn't want to go out of curiosity. I wanted to gather material. But there are enough people who have been saved out of demon possession. I have several books and quite a few articles in my file. People who have been saved. We've had students come to Trinity College who were bona fide witches. They were demon possessed. I could name two or three that you would know. I'm not going to. They'll tell you if they want you to know. I have one article here by a woman that was saved out of demon possession. It was in Largos Magazine in October of last year. And brother, it makes your hair curl if you got enough to curl. If it do that, I'd read it over and over again. But I've read it quite a few times. And it's horrible. She got saved. She practically died, and the other witches gathered around to watch her die. And she called herself Super Witch of Florida. And brother, she was the dirtiest woman, and she tells it right in here. I mean, this is in Lagos, and old Steve Hill, the modernist, is the one that recorded it. You know, he didn't do it out of love of the truth. But brother, and she has a ministry for witches and for demon-possessed people in the city of Tampa. She calls it, I want to go there sometime to talk to her. On that page. She wrote a book, The Witch That Switched. I think that's good. I want to get that. Christ Deliverance Ministry, Incorporated in Tampa. And I might give a few illustrations out of that thing. I don't know before I get through. But almost everything I'm going to say through here, you can read and hear that she used. And she had the ability to tell fortunes at 3 years of age. She was, I won't tell everything that she said in this article, but just to show you the hellish nature of the woman when she was demon possessed, she made her daughter work in her bar. I think she called it the Magnet Bar on North Florida Avenue, where she sold dope and prostitution and all the rest. She made her daughter dance nude on the bar for her clients in her bar. What kind of woman she was. She made blood sacrifices. Don't sell the devil's work short. And don't sell demon possession short. This one friend that I have, very good friend of mine, was in my class one time when I was teaching this. And he came to me after the class and said, "Brother Bragg, I was demon possessed." He said, "I had the ability to tell fortunes when I was starting when I was very young." He said, I knew what was going to happen. And I've read this, and I don't know how many illustrations I have. Like this woman here. I got in trouble with people. I've got two or three illustrations like this. I got in trouble with people because I would warn them that if they went there, they'd have a wreck. Sure enough. If they didn't believe them, the thing would take place. And then, of course, they come back and say, well, they didn't get mad at this person. So they made it happen. Don't sell this short. The demons have power. And they do inhabit people. We'd probably be utterly amazed if we knew how many so-called crazy people, so many people that do such devilish things, if we knew the power that's working in them to make them do it. This woman, I think, has appeared on PTL in Tampa, and she did appear on PTL in New Orleans. And evidently, she's a precious woman of God now. I want to go over and see her. If I'd thought about it soon enough, I think I would have tried to get in contact with her, call her on the phone, make an appointment. I want to talk to her. I had one person that doesn't mind because she's put it in her book. Mrs. Manerson had demoniacal possession. She was in my class one day, and she said, "Brother Bragg, everything you say is true. I made my money telling fortunes." She and her husband both were nightclub entertainers. She sang, and he played the piano, and he still plays the piano wonderfully. I love Brother and Sister Manerson. They're very precious saints of God. But she was demon-possessed, and she told fortunes. And she said she did it as a little girl. She just didn't know what. All of a sudden, it just popped in her head that so-and-so something's going to happen. And it took place. That's the demon possession. That's divination. I'm not going to take that off much on each one of these dates. But I hardly know what to leave out. I'm not stretching out trying to find material. We could have taught all year on demon possession and demoniacal working. The Bible's plain on it. A lot of material. And the very fact that God says, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live," is the proof that it's not quackery. There is a lot of demoniacal working in it. Demons are very interested in our affairs. And you may not know it, but as a Christian, they're more interested in you than they are their own. And if they could, they'd love to damn your soul. And if they can't do that, they'd like to wreck your life. By any method, by oppression or obsession, if not possession. You should see, they can't possess. The second word is an observer of times. This takes in astrology. The Hebrew word is meonen, M-E-O-N-E-N. Probably no Hebrew would recognize my pronunciation of any one of these words. I give it a sawgrass cracker accent. M-E-O-N-E-N. It carries the idea as a worker of hidden arts. To foretell the future, as Pharaoh in Genesis 41:8. As in astrology, in the 12 houses of the zodiac, or signs of the zodiac, we have had it so prominent in this age of Aquarius that we've entered into, they say. And the song became very popular. "We're in the age of Aquarius," the song says. "The moon is in her seventh house. Jupiter aligned with Mars. Then peace will guide the planet and love will guide the stars." What a lie. Even a lot of Christians have been caught up with this so-called Jupiter effect. Astrology makes a whole lot of it. The 12th of March came and went, and nothing happened. Don't let astrology worry you. You read of astrology in the earliest books of the Bible, the book of Job. crazy idea that some kind of mysterious planet, that the demon influence from that planet guides the lives here on Earth. That's the observer of times, or forecasting by various methods, as in the horoscopes. I wish we had time. Horoscope is and astrology is a big business. They say that there are 15,000 to 17,000 full-time astrologers in America. With all kinds of periodicals. Almost every newspaper has the horoscope in it. Almost everyone in the country. It always tickles me when I read mine in July and see what they predict for that day. Every once in a while I look at the thing just to see how crazy they are. And of course most of those are sweet nothings, but there is a demoniacal influence back there. The third word is enchanter. Enchanter. The Hebrew word is meanakesh, menakesh, M-E-N-A-C-H-E-S-H. M-E-N-A-C-H-E-S-H. Menakesh. It means to use oracles or omens, even as they use the oracles of even living humans and living animals, to try to tell the future. And of course they use tea leaves and tarot cards and all kinds of omens and so-called magical things. It is somewhat like the voodooism, as they use some article of clothing from that person and then cast a curse. And don't you think a lot of it doesn't work? It's hedonism and it's demonism. Demons have power, especially on the devil's kids. The word, in fact, has within it the word serpent. That A-C-H-E-S-H is the Hebrew word for serpent. It also means to whisper, and I'll show you why in a minute. To whisper. A low murmuring noise. Chattering. The fourth word is witch. Mekaseph, Mekaseph, M-E-C-A-S-S-E-P-H. M-E-C-A-S-S-E-P-H, Mekaseph. The root word means to pray. To pray. So incantations by drugs. Here's why so many times in the Bible we have this word for pharmacy. The word is pharmakos in the Greek. It's in the Old Testament, the Septuagint in the New Testament. P-H-A-R-M-A-K-O-S. We get our word pharmacy from it. It is to practice witchcraft with drugs. Paul condemns it as hellish. God says in the Old Testament, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. We could go a long ways on that word witch, especially as it's translated in different ways in the Old Testament and in the New. The fifth word is charmer. The Hebrew word is yiddeomi, Y-I-D-D. By the way, these English spellings, of course, don't correspond to the Hebrew, only to the pronunciation of the Hebrew. I've looked them up in several different books. Adam Clark, I looked it up in International Dictionary. I looked it up in several other places, in Strong's Concordance. And don't let it worry you, because different ones spell them differently. They do it with the Greek too, because it's almost impossible to get the identical Yiddish, not the Yiddish, but the Hebrew, pronunciation into the English. But this is as close as you can get, I guess. I gave Wizard here before I gave Charmer, because Wizard is the male witch, or as they use the term now, warlock. Witch is the female word. But a wizard, or a Yidome, is a knowing one, a conjurer. He carries the idea of getting the knowledge from a demon. The sixth word is charmer. And it's cober, C-H-O-B-E-R, cober. One who fabricates charms. The word magician comes from it. I have no doubt the magicians of the Chaldeans and of the Egyptians, other magicians mentioned in the Bible, are these cober. The seventh word is necromancy. And necromancer literally means to talk with the dead. Necros. Spelled N, well, the Hebrew is two words, Hebrew has two words, Doreshet Hamathim, D-O-R-E-S-H-E-T. Doreshet, D-O-R-E-S-H-E-T, Hamathim, H-A-M-M-E-T-H-I-M, H-A-M-M-E-T-H-I-M, it's a consulter of the dead, or evoking the dead, communing with the dead, to get extraterrestrial wisdom from talking with departed humans. The eighth word is the one that, to my mind, is the most important. It seems to be a more or less of a generic term, incorporating all the rest. And that is a consulter with a familiar spirit. Familiar spirit, the word familiar is spelled, I think, about five ways in various parts of the Hebrew Old Testament. But most of it, most of the time, it is a spirit of Ob, O-B-H. A spirit of Ob. Or Abeth or Aboth. O-B-E-T-H or O-B-O-T-H. But it's just as well to leave it at Ob, O-B-H. Spirit of Ob. It means one who consorts with or is possessed by the spirit of Ob. The Greek translates it in the Septuagint, as well as in the New Testament in Acts 16, of the demon-possessed girl of Philippi, the spirit of Python. Spirit of Python. Snake. See what God thinks about him. The spirit of Ob or Oboth is the spirit of a snake, spirit of Python. The Hebrew word O-B-H means to prattle, to mumble. To whisper, translated whisper a number of times in the Old Testament, it is a hollow sound as though speaking into a bottle. One man so interprets it. I think it's very close. I'll show you why as we go along. Here's the amazing thing. The Septuagint translates it a number of times with the Hebrew word ventriloquism. I want you to get that close, ventriloquism. In fact, the word ventriloquist is transliterated out of the Greek. The Greek word is EGGASTRIMUZOS. It's a very hard word to pronounce. It's Angest Frizos. Frizos. EGGASTRIMUZOS. And it means to use ventriloquism. This is exactly what a demon does, we shall see when we come to it. It's not an accident. Ventriloquism. I believe it's an accurate translation of the word. The spirit of a knob. It is the voice of the medium, an animal or a human, but the one doing the talking is the demon. You'll see it in that spirit of a python in the demoniac girl at Philippi, when the demon in the girl kept following. This girl made a fortune for her owners by fortune telling. Really. And when Paul preached, the girl came after them proclaiming, "These are the true men of God." You could draw a lot of conclusions from this. But Paul knew who was doing the talking. It wasn't the girl. It was the demon in the girl. And he rebuked it and made it come out of the girl. And that ruined her business. And the business of her owners. That's ventriloquism. I believe the devil used a demon in the serpent in the Garden of Eden to talk to Eve. As the angel of the Lord used the voice of the jackass to rebuke Balaam. But this is the ventriloquistic spirit. I want you to look at two texts in Isaiah with all that we've said so far. These are very unique texts. The first one is in Isaiah 8:19. "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have a familiar spirit." Rotherham translates it necromancy, consulting with the dead. But the Hebrew is, hath a spirit of Ab. And unto wizards. Now look at the rest of it. That peep and mutter. Peep only occurs here and in Isaiah 10:14. Of literal birds peeping. Chirping sound. Mutter occurs only here and in Isaiah 59:3. "Your tongue hath muttered perverseness." But when you put this chirping, peeping, and then muttering together, you get a strange, unearthly sound. So let me read it. "When they shall say unto you, seek unto them that hath a familiar spirit," a spirit of Ab, "that peep and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead?" That's spiritualism. Real, true spiritualism. But here's the secret. All the truth in real, genuine spiritualism is not talking with the dead, but talking with a demon. So it is. Demon talking. In all of it. When we come to the last text that we should be using, you'll We'll see a little bit more of it. Look at the second text in Isaiah 29:4. Notice it very carefully. And thou shalt be brought down and shall speak out of the ground. And thy speech shall be low out of the dust. And thy voice shall be as, now here's the simile, of one that hath a familiar spirit, the spirit of Ab, out of the ground. And thy voice, and shall whisper, or chirp, or peep, or mutter, out of the dust. Here's that hollow, hoarse, whispering, muttering voice out of the ground. Or the voice of a familiar spirit. One translation gives it that squeak and gibber. Howard Smith still renders it. But keep that out of the dust, out of the ground, in mind. Now turn to the classical text we used in Harmartiology. I want to use it here. In 1 Samuel 28. Many believe that Samuel really came out of the ground to talk to the old wicked Saul, apostate Saul. I'm not going to give you all the reasons I did in Harmartiology. I gave you 20 reasons why it wasn't Saul. Samuel. But was a spirit of Ab. Familiar spirit. I believe the familiar spirit, and I think the authorized version, that word familiar probably is accurate. It isn't a translation. But I believe it's an accurate paraphrase for what God is trying to say here. If I am right that every human born in the world is a sign of a deviling imp in imitation of God's guardian angel, the word familiar would be a good translation of it, wouldn't it? One who knows all about you. I believe this is why a genuine witch, a genuine demon-possessed fortune teller, astrologer, who whatever name he wants to take, or she wants to take, I believe they can tell the fortunes of an unsaved person. That demon can commune with a demon of that person and know all the secrets of your life. I believe this is why they can tell you things that you have forgotten, and nobody knows but you. In your subconscious mind, and they can tell you. And don't shortchange it. I've seen it happen. I've got some illustrations. This woman here has some. I have one that is utterly amazing of what was told. You have it in your subconscious mind. It's there, never to be forgotten. But this demon with a perfect memory, because it's not attached to a physical brain where the neuronic connections can get all hamstrung. But that demon with a perfect memory, as you'll have after you leave this body, and the subconscious then can divulge its secrets without a censor, that demon probably knows your life from conception till now, of things that you have never even impressed upon your memory at all, but it happened to you. Or if it's in the subconscious, they can tell you something back when you were a little lad, and to your utter amazement, you'd forgotten it. And now it's brought to your mind, and of course, this is one of the miracles to make you believe in. But it isn't a good thing. It's demoniacal. It's hellish. Satanic. I don't know how anybody can believe that this was literal signal. They came out to prophesy to Saul what's going to happen. I can't see it at all. And in my martiology class, as I said, I will give 20 reasons why it can't be Saul. I only give a few here. Time won't permit me to give more. But I want you to show you this familiar spirit in this witch. She's not called a witch in the scripture, but we call her a witch of Endor. So does it do it here in the margin. But she's not called a witch. She's a possessor of a familiar spirit, a spirit of Ob. But here, the Hebrew is very strong. It is the spirit of an Ob possesses her. She's possessed of this demon. Saul tried to get the mind of the Lord about whether he should go to this war or not, and if he'd prosper, and you read the context. And the Lord didn't answer him. In verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim or Thummim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul to the servant, seek me out of a woman with a familiar spirit. That's the spirit of Ob. Now remember, he killed all the witches out of the land. I don't know if he saved this one in particular, or he escaped in some way, but he evidently knew there's some he must have missed. It was one of the good things that Saul did. But he asked his servants to search out a woman that hath a spirit of Ob, spirit of Python, that I might go to her and inquire of her. The servant said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Saul disguised himself, put on his raiment, went, and two men with him. They came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by a familiar spirit. He is saying, I want you to forecast by the spirit of Ob what's going to happen to me. Remember, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. And an evil spirit had entered into him. Been trying to kill David for years now. He was an apostate. That's why he went to this woman with a familiar spirit at Endor. And bring me up. I want you to go through here several times up on the ground. Bring me up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest that Saul had what Saul had done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, the spirit of Ob, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her. I think of this old apostate making an oath here. I wouldn't believe him on a stack of Bibles. He cut off all his thumbs and fingers to prove it. He's telling the truth. Well, you remember the promises he made to David? I won't hurt you. Forgive me. And then the next time he sees him, he tries to kill him. You can't believe a fellow like this, an apostate. As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up out of the ground unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. Now she's still unscared. There's a reason. I wish I had time to go into this in great detail. And when the woman saw Samuel, I wish you know she's the one who names it. And I believe the familiar spirit, the devil and imp, your assigned agent of the devil, takes your name, takes your characteristics. I believe he becomes completely identified with you and your nature throughout your life. And I believe that all temptation from without comes from that particular source in every believer. Well, every human, not just a believer, but every human. Knowing your nature as he does, he can suit the particular temptation to you. She names it. Now, there are a number of things, as I give those 20, that shows it wasn't Simon. Also at that time, in Harmartiology, I'll give you half a dozen theories as to who this was. I'm throwing it out as plain nonsense or some interpolations that crept into the text. Some give it Israelite hadn't quite evolved up into a state where they realized there are no such thing as demons like we do now. We're too smart now to believe in demons. We're also too smart to believe in angels. And we're getting so smart in us nation we don't even believe in God. In fact, we're so smart now we don't believe. Period. A lot of people are going to wake up one of these days to find out a lot more things than ever dreamed of by a lot of folks, as one man put it. I wish you knew what she said. Why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul? And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw Elohim coming up out of the earth. Another reason why I don't believe Samuel. She used the word Elohim, plural for God. I saw Elohim ascending out of the earth. Remember, these demons are called gods in 1 Corinthians 8, 4 through 6. There be gods many. And the word for plural gods. But notice where they ascend out of the earth, as in Isaiah 9:19-29. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle, and Saul perceived. I want you to notice that. The word perceived was convinced in the Hebrew. Saul was convinced that it was Samuel. Then he did something that the real Samuel wouldn't have accepted. He stooped with his face to the ground and did obeisance. He's in Hebrew. Worship him. Every true prophet in the whole word of God from beginning to end rejected, and angels did too. Rejected human worship. Everyone. There's only one human that ever accepted true worship, and that's Jesus Christ. And Thomas fell at his feet and said, my Lord and my God, Jesus didn't rebuke him. Not at all. Jesus said, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who, having not seen, still believe. This is not Samuel. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me? Can a saint in paradise be disquieted? Can their rest be broken by somebody on earth asking him to come back and give him a warning he wouldn't listen to while he's alive? You've got a strange idea if you believe this was Samuel came back to talk to him. The scripture says they do rest from their labor. And their works do follow them. Remember, the rich man would love to have Dives come back and warn his brothers, but that's certainly a nice thing on his part. Now, notice he couldn't come back and warn them, and neither could Lazarus. He had his good things, and no disquieting. Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war, and God has departed from me, and answers me no more. And this being, whoever it was, and I believe it was a familiar spirit, that's who this woman brought up. I don't think she could bring up Samuel. I don't believe the saints in paradise in the heart of the earth in the Old Testament or the saints in the third heaven now can be described by a witch. I just don't believe it. If God wouldn't let Samuel warn him when Samuel was alive, he wouldn't send him back from the heart of the earth, where paradise was in the Old Testament, to warn him now. Yes? a manifestation. Notice the witch saw. And it wasn't the witch really, it was the familiar spirit in the witch that saw. I could also ask, where did he get the clothes when they were back over in the grave? I'll go into this in great detail in our martiology class, should Jesus tarry, and if we're in the New Jerusalem, we'll all know. Samuel was not at the bidding of a witch, a demon-possessed woman, to disquiet him. One more thing, and I could read a lot of these, but I'm not going to. Did you know that her prophecy didn't really come true? God says that's the way you can tell too, if it's a prophet. Her prophecy didn't actually come true. Now remember, Saul belonged to the devil here. But there's one of his kids that didn't belong to the devil, evidently. All the rest did. And remember, the devil had power of life and death in the Old Testament. Jesus robbed him of that. You read of it in Hebrews 2:14. He annulled him that had the power of death, that is the devil. In the Old Testament, the devil did have the power of life and death, especially over his own. He could slay humans. I couldn't do it to Job, because Job belonged to God. But Saul belonged to the devil here, and his kids did, except this one. When the familiar spirit said, "Today, tomorrow about this time, you'll be where I am and with me." Saul was. One of his kids wasn't. Go back and read it. One of Saul's children escaped. So actually, was it fulfilled? This is the spirit of Ab. One that hath a familiar spirit. I did want to give this before I close. And I want you to see this all in what we've said so far and what Scripture has given. Dr. F. L. Nevius, N-E-V-I-U-S, a China missionary, who wrote in 1892, in his book, Demon Possession. I read this in the book, War on the Saints, by Jesse Penn Lewis. I'd like to get a hold of this book. If I ever get a chance to buy it, I'll buy it. I'd give a lot for it. Evidently, it's a wonderful book. He gave 12 evidences of demon possession in his book in 1892. 12 evidences. I put them down in the margin because he puts it in such good form. Number one, the one demon possessed is an involuntary victim. I think all of them at first. That's mine. Then he says the willing soul is known as a medium. As soon as they become willing and cooperate with the possessing demon, they become a medium. Medium really is a misinterpretation. It should be mediator. It would be a whole lot better. They give that demon a chance to manifest themselves in human life in one form or another. Yes? Yes, I have some illustrations of that where it's almost impossible for the demon-possessed person to really want to be healed. We'll come to demon possession a little later and probably answer it more fully. And we'll see that there are wrong methods and there are right methods. Yes. I believe it can be intermittent unless they are insane, where their mind is, their rational mind is completely lost. I have known and I have dealt with these possessed people who are as rational as anybody. And especially until you tried to deal with the demons. And then they became violent. You have to watch out. Sometimes they will try to kill you. Like the sons of Sceva. They try to kill the sons of Sceva. We'll mention them later. There are, we'll be coming to exorcism a little later, or the casting out of demons. And we'll go down through these marks, all of them, because I think they're very essential. And as we've dealt, I wish we could have gotten through them today, with all fresh in your mind, on the type of voice that they use and the ventriloquism. And I do believe that most demon-possessed people finally either lose their health or lose their mind. This woman that I was using here almost lost her mind and then almost lost her health. She came down to about 62 pounds when this precious person led her to Jesus Christ. And then she became a tremendous blessing as the ministry there in Tampa is today. She lives in Newport Richey. She has a home in Newport Richey. I'm going to... I tried to find her in the phone book, and I couldn't find her name. She's been married about 4 or 5 times. She was a confessed lesbian. She was a... almost confessed murderer in here. And exhibitionist. She... well, the demons just used her in every vile way that they could use her. You talk about a brand snatched from the burning. You can almost smell brimstone when you read a history like this. Thank God that she saved. You're dismissed.